This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. My name is Chris Banks. If you're tuning in to Film Bookcast for the first time, what I do on this podcast is discuss the latest film and TV show news, as well as review an in-theater film. You can find more Film Bookcast on film-book.com by using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com. with Film Bookcast in the subject line. Let's jump right into it this week. Now let's check out some TV trailers from this week. An exciting new upcoming series from Hulu is something that has gone viral over last summer. Pam and Tommy finally dropped its first trailer. Sebastian Stan is playing Tommy Lee, and Lily James is playing Pamela Anderson. Seth Rogen and Nick Offerman are also in this. Seth Rogen executive produces the series. It'll debut in February on Hulu. Check out the trailer. It looks really good. I can't believe how great they look in character. Not to mention, it was really, really a turning point in American culture. Like this event, the internet invading privacy. This was really the first time that it happened in the celebrity context. So the series is very good time. And it looks like it's going to be really good. Check out the trailer for Pam and Tommy. It'll debut on Netflix in February. Another TV trailer we got this week was a first teaser from Downton Abbey creators Julian Fellowes' The Gilded Age. It'll debut in early 2022. It's about 19th century class warfare drama. It was a period of immense economic change and a great conflict between the old ways and brand new systems. And huge fortunes were made and lost. Against the backdrop of this transformation, the series begins in 1882 with young Marion Brooke moving from rural Pennsylvania to New York City after the death of her father, who lived with her thoroughly old money aunts, Agnes and Ada. The series' showrunners describes it as a period of expansive wealth and great opulence for a small segment of Americans. It was also a time when social inequities were glaring. Viewers will see these different worlds and be able to connect the past to the present. Check out the trailer for The Gilded Age. It will debut Monday, January 24th on HBO Max. Debuting on Netflix December 22nd is the second trailer for Emily in Paris. They just dropped the new trailer, and this season looks really cool. It just gives me like the Sex and the City vibes. Now more entrenched in her life in Paris, Emily's getting better at navigating the city, but she's still struggling with the idiosyncrasies of French life. After stumbling into a love triangle with her neighbor and her first real French friend, Emily is determined to focus on her work, which is getting more complicated by the day. In French class, she meets a fellow expat who both infuriates but intrigues her. Check out the trailer for season 2 of Emily in Paris. It'll debut on Netflix December 22nd. That's it for TV trailers. Now let's check out some film trailers for this week. Coming out in December is a haunting psychological thriller from Guillermo del Toro. It stars Cate Blanchett, Rooney Mara, Richard Jenkins, Bradley Cooper. It's called Nightmare Alley. It's set in 1940. It's about a charming but down on his luck man played by Bradley Cooper. After ingratiating himself with a clairvoyant and her mentalist husband, he learns new grifting skills that grant him a ticket to mingle with the ultra-wealthy in New York City in 1940. This puts him in conflict with a mysterious psychiatrist played by Cate Blanchett and a dangerous tycoon played by Richard Jenkins, all while the virtuous young woman named Molly, played by Rooney Mara, is at his side. The trailer looks impeccable. I mean, it's just, Del Toro is the master of the craft of film. Check out the trailer for Nightmare Alley. It'll debut December 10th in theaters. Another trailer that dropped this week is a pretty spontaneous, I wasn't expecting this trailer. Universal Pictures dropped Marry Me. It stars Jennifer Lopez, Owen Wilson, and it also stars Maluma. Jennifer Lopez basically plays herself. She's a singer, Kate Valdez, and Owen Wilson is a divorced high school math teacher. Jennifer Lopez is set to marry her singer boyfriend played by Maluma, but Maluma's caught cheating with someone else, and it's a very interesting movie. It incorporates social media in a cool, relevant way, and it looks like it's going to be a great movie to go see on Valentine's Day. It's definitely a romantic Valentine's Day movie. And check out the trailer for Marry Me. It'll debut on Valentine's Day. The last movie trailer we'll talk about this week, probably under your radar, but it won at Cannes last year. The title is Last Words. It's 2085, and a young man, one of the few survivors of the human community of old, embarks on a long voyage to find others. It stars Nick Nolte, Stellan Skarsgård, Charlotte Rampling. It'll be in theaters December 17th. It looks like a very beautiful, timely movie about humanity. It looks really good. Check out the trailer for Last Words. It'll be in theaters December 17th. That's it for film trailers. This week in streaming news, Viacom CBS claims that Paramount Plus had its most successful week ever, adding 1 million subscribers to its already healthy subscriber base. No real details were given for the increase in subscriptions, but Paramount Plus has had a healthy dose of releases recently and will have even more going forward, so exciting news for Paramount Plus fans. Now let's check out some new releases on streaming this week. Season 1 of Cowboy Bebop is now available on Netflix. It's an oddball mix of science fiction, western, comedy, and jazz. John Chu, Mustafa Shakir star as Spike and Jet, bounty hunters who get tied up with all sorts of planet-hopping criminals, causing all sorts of destruction through violent shootouts along the way. Season 1 of Cowboy Bebop is now available on Netflix. Season 2 of The Great is now available on Hulu. Tony McNamara's The Favorite Flavored Royal Remix is back for Season 2, and it finds Catherine finally reclaiming the Russian throne and owning her title as Catherine the Great. Season 2 of The Great is now available on Hulu. Fans of Will Smith will be excited as King Richard is now available on HBO Max and in theaters. There's been a lot of buzz about this performance. He plays Richard Williams, the dad of famed tennis star Venus and Serena, who helped build them up into accomplished athletes dominating the sport today. King Richard is now available on HBO Max and in theaters. Tick, Tick, Boom, the highly anticipated Lin-Manuel Miranda musical, is now available on Netflix. It stars Andrew Garfield as a struggling playwright who's anxious that he hasn't accomplished enough by his upcoming 30th birthday. Vanessa Hudgens and Bradley Whitford also star in the film. Tick, Tick, Boom is now available on Netflix. Rounding out the week in streaming news is Black and Missing. What the media has failed to do, this series tries to do. Remember when the country was absorbed in the missing persons case of Gabby Petito? She wasn't the only person who was missing at the time, and the fact the media latched onto one story drew backlash for a racial bias. Where was the coverage of all the missing minority women? That's what the HBO docuseries Black and Missing follows Derica and Natalie Wilson, sister-in-laws and founders of the Black and Missing Foundation, an organization that brings awareness to black missing persons cases. Two episodes aired this week, and the final episode will air next week. Black and Missing is now available on HBO Max. This week in TV news, Amazon has ordered a dark comedy workplace series starring Christopher Waltz. The Oscar winner is set to star and executive produce The Consultant, which comes from The Servant creator Tony Basgallop. It explores a sinister relationship between a boss and an employee, asking how far he will go to get ahead and to survive. It's inspired by Bentley Little's 2015 novel, a novel, a satire that centered around Mr. Paytoff, a bow-tie-wearing consultant who comes to the rescue of Compware after a prominent merger falls through and soon, seemingly, starts running the company. Seems like it's going to be equal parts humor and thrilling. We'll keep up with news about The Consultant. Some more TV news is it seems NBC is developing a drama, The Santos of Chicago, from Jorge Reyes, Pharrell Williams, and Ben Silverman of Propagate. The Santos of Chicago, loosely based on members of Reyes' family, is described as This Is Us / Brothers and Sisters meets The West Wing. Very interesting. It follows the lives and loves of six Afro-Latinx siblings, led by the two eldest sisters who during their insurgent run for Congress will become the Latina Jack and Bobby Kennedy. This leads their siblings to pursue success in their own fields, leading them on a surprising, tumultuous journey as their ordinary family transitions into an American dynasty. Executive producing the show is Silverman, Howard Owens, and Rodney Farrell of Propagate Content. Very exciting TV news from NBC. Finally this week, rounding out the week in TV news is exciting news for classic ABC fans. Do you remember the sitcom Different Strokes and the Facts of Life? Well, they're getting remakes. Jimmy Kimmel announced this week that John Lithgow will play Mr. Drummer in Different Strokes. Kevin Hart will play Arnold. Damon Wayans will play Willis, Ann Dowd will play Mrs. Garrett, and the Facts of Life cast will be announced later. If you remember, Different Strokes ran on NBC from 1978 to 1985. Now, The Facts of Life was a spin-off series that centered around the Drummonds' first housekeeper, Mrs. Garrett. What's interesting about the remakes is that they'll be filmed in front of a live studio audience, and it will premiere on NBC on December 7th from 8 to 9:30. This week in film news is some exciting news about an upcoming Martin Scorsese and Apple TV film. Jonah Hill has been tapped to star as Grateful Dead frontman Jerry Garcia in a yet untitled biopic. It's set to be directed by Martin Scorsese in coordination with Apple TV. The writers of this film will be American crime story impeachment writer Scott Alexander and Larry Krasinski. The last time Hill and Scorsese worked together was, of course, The Wolf of Wall Street, and we'll keep up with news about this Apple film. Apple is also producing Scorsese's next film, Killers of the Flower Moon, which Paramount will distribute theatrically. Another piece of exciting film news, fans of Under Siege will be excited as a reboot is in the works for Warner Brothers and HBO Max. The 1992 Steven Seagal action film is getting a reboot. Omar Alem is writing the script. The original stars Steven Seagal as Casey Ryback, an ex-Navy SEAL turned cook who is the only person who can stop a group of terrorists when they seize control of a U.S. battleship. It's unknown if Seagal will have any role in this version, but the original grossed $156 million at the worldwide box office, and it led to a sequel, Under Siege Part 2, Dark Territory. The director first broke out directing VHS and Safe Haven. We'll keep up with news as HBO Max lets us know what's up with the Under Siege reboot, but very exciting news for fans of Under Siege. Rounding out the week in movie news is some casting news, as Annabella Sciorra is set to star in Fresh Kills, a fresh take on the world of organized crime. Jennifer Esposito is writing and directing the movie, and she'll also act alongside Sciorra. Inspired by the director's upbringing in Staten Island, Fresh Kills tells the suspenseful story about the loyal woman behind the mob men who loomed over New York City in the late 20th century. Sciorra will play a widow named Christine, and Esposito will play her protective older sister, Francine. The film is a first to be funded exclusively by fan investors. It's a very groundbreaking thing to do for the Fresh Kills star, as Esposito's on-screen credits include Crash, Taxi, Blue Blood, and she was motivated to use the unusual financing methods in an effort to upend the inequitable systems she experienced in the entertainment industry. We'll keep up with news, as Fresh Kills sounds like it's going to be a very exciting film. That's it for film news.
All right. Time for this week's movie review. For this week's movie review, we're checking out Last Night in Soho, directed by Edgar Wright. It stars Anna Taylor-Joy, Thomasin McKenzie, Matt Smith, Diana Rigg, and many others. Chung Hoon Chung is the cinematographer for Last Night in Soho. I want to mention that, and you'll understand why as we go through it. An aspiring fashion designer is mysteriously able to enter the 1960s, where she encounters a dazzling wannabe singer. However, the glamour is not all it appears to be, and the dreams of the past start to crack and splinter into something far darker. Last Night in Soho came out October 29th. It took me a while to go see it in theaters, but boy am I glad I did. It's a psychological thriller from Edgar Wright. He brought us Shaun of the Dead, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I had no idea that this was the director of Last Night in Soho. A totally different turn for him, and I want to go back and kind of rewatch his movies, because Last Night in Soho is, for what it is, because it's a very unique movie, the way it's presented, and you could tell from the trailer that it was going to be something interesting and cool, and I am happy to report it's a very, very good movie. It's well worth your time to go see it in theaters. I'm not sure for how long it's going to still be in theaters, but please go check out Last Night in Soho. Thomasin McKenzie plays a girl named Eloise, and she's leaving home to go be a fashion designer, and she's a brilliant student, and she wants to go to London to go to school. I love the setup of this film. It was very well done. The cinematography is beautiful. I mentioned Chung Hoon Chung because his film is one of the most gorgeous movies I've seen this year. It's stunning. The way that they tell you a little bit about her family history, her mother committed suicide, there's a mental health history in the family of mental health conditions and mental health challenges as we all deal with. The way it's set up is just beautiful. The grandma, Rita Tushingham, is Peggy Turner, who is the grandmother. So she decides that she's going to do it. She's going to go to London, and she has this fascination with the 60s. And I really relate to her a lot because I too love certain periods of art and whatever. And the way that it's done is really just beautiful and tasteful. So she doesn't like her dorm as I didn't, and I know a lot of people didn't like their first roommate or whatever their first experience was in a dorm. So she shops around and finds Miss Collins's house. And Miss Collins is played by Diana Rigg. She just seems like a cranky old woman. And, oh, not a cranky old woman, but just a regular old woman. The room that she rents is, I love, the room is a character in and of itself in Last Night in Soho, because it's right above a bistro, and there's a neon sign that constantly goes off all night long. So the colors of the room change every time the letters of the sign change. It's awesome. So the color changing makes for a haunting effect, which again is Chung Hoon Chung's brilliance. The cinematography in this movie is gorgeous. And I just love that component of the room, that the room itself is eerie and creepy and mysterious. And she's getting flashbacks as she's sleeping. We as the viewer are getting thrown around. I have no idea at times in this movie whether we're within one of her dreams or whether she's delusional or whether we're seeing two totally different stories being played out on screen in front of us. I'm still not sure which of the three those it is, because that's how brilliant and really mysterious this psychological horror film is. It's not really a horror, but it is a horror film, and it's more psychological in nature than violence or jump scares. Anya Taylor-Joy plays Sandy, and for a while, for me, she was a fragment of Eloise's imagination, or something that she was making up in her head and dreaming about. And I went through the film for a good while with that being what I thought it was. And I'll try my best to not spoil it for those who haven't seen the movie, because it's a tremendous trip. You know, it's a tremendous movie. It has a great reveal, great resolution. I had no idea what was happening in this movie, but I was always hooked. And I mean that in a good way, because I'm always within the story, but the way they shoot it, the way the story is told, actually adds to the anxiety, the suspense, the psychological nature of this horror movie, of this horror film. And it's really brilliant because it adds to the storytelling. Is Ellie dreaming? Is she delusional? Is she crazy? Is she experiencing something supernatural? We come across a character named Lindsay, and he's played by Terrence Stamp, and awesome the way that they present this character. Matt Smith is in her dreams, and he's in the 60s, and he's basically Sandy's pimp. And then we jump to present day, and we think that Lindsay is Jack, but he's not at all. And the way that, again, I don't really want to spoil everything, because the movie is suspenseful, great. There's a lot of anxiety. I had a really fun time watching it. Not to mention, the ending of this is insane. I'm not going to reveal it because it'll just ruin it for those who haven't watched the movie. But you have to check out the film, because it's one of the best psychological horror films I've ever seen. And it's still marinating in my brain, but a tremendous job. Anya Taylor-Joy is absolutely stunning. And these scenes in this film are just beautiful, tremendous, and Edgar Wright to have directed it. I really am very excited to see what he comes out with next, because this is a totally left field kind of move for him, and just based on what he's done recently in the past. And wow, is this a well done film. I was floored by how good it is. And again, I haven't even given out the best part of it, which is the very end, and I'm not going to, because I really want you to see the movie. Everybody does a tremendous job. I mean, Diana Rigg is awesome. Matt Smith is just the best kind of good-looking bad boy. You know, it's just a really well-done job. Thomasin McKenzie is... I love her. I have to watch whatever else she's in, because she is so good. And Anya Taylor-Joy is beautiful and touching and tremendous singer. And the film is, I would give the film an 8 out of 10, easily. Maybe even a 9 out of 10. It's really mysteriously dark, and but also sizzling in its beauty. You know, it's a really well-done film. I would highly, highly recommend going to see Last Night in Soho, directed by Edgar Wright. I hope you like it as much as I did. Thanks so much for checking us out this week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Film Bookcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Chris Banks.
or FilmBookCast. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at C Banksy. That's S-E-E Banksy. I'm also on Instagram, at TheChrisBanks. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening on our YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video. Subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment in the comment section. It really helps other people discover our podcast. Please also become one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support helps us create more engaging content. You'll find our Patreon link below in the description. If you want to tweet about this podcast, just use the hashtag FilmBookCast. Tune in next week for the next episode of the FilmBookCast. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you then.